Jesus produces fruit in your life because you're abiding in the vine and you're the branches. You can't help from produce fruit in your life when you're connected to pure love, pure power, pure goodness. Amen? See, that's what it's all about.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello again and welcome everyone. Let's get right into the study today and join Pastor Bill for the conclusion to the message, I Don't Want You to Be Ignorant, from his continuing study in the New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians.
It is the divine proof, the love of God in a believer, that you are saved. You say, well, now wait a minute, Bill. I've got that baptism upper room experience. I did it too, you know. Well, that's wonderful. But you see, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, oh, praise the Lord. Speaking in other tongues like they did on the day of Pentecost, praise the Lord. Those are wonderful things. But that is an evidence that you're filled with the Spirit. It is not the evidence of being Spirit-filled or saved. Are you listening to me? That's so vital that you see that. Loved one, listen. You know, the Bible tells us in, let me just read 1 John to you. It says in 1 John 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God, born again, and knows God. But he who does not love does not know God, doesn't have a relationship with God, for God is love. You see, love is the motor behind all of the gifts. Jesus, in John 13, in the upper room, he washed the disciples' feet, leaving them an example as he did, so were they to do as well. And then he gave them the new commandment. He gave it to us as well. That's one of the vision scriptures of the vision statement of this church. Jesus said to them, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love, agape, that love from heaven, love one another, and here's the new part, just as I've loved you. To the same degree, he says, and by this all will know, everyone will know, all will know that you are my learners, my students, my disciples. He didn't say, by speaking in other tongues, all will know who you are. He didn't say, oh, when they see you laying hands on the sick, they'll know that you belong to me. No, loved one. Those are wonderful things to do, but let's get it right. Let's not be ignorant about what God's word is saying. Amen? That is so vital that we need to understand that. Now, if you'll look in chapter 13 again, you know, there are those that teach that the gifts have passed away, and they start right here in 13, verse 8. Love never fails. Now, that's our foundational statement of this church, isn't it? He says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will what? Oh, they're going to vanish, fail. Whether there are tongues, they will, no more tongues. Whether there is knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, those people would say, I put away the gifts of the Spirit, for now we see in a mirror dimly, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know just as I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, and these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now listen carefully. They use that to say, see, tongues have ceased, prophecies are no more. He says, now we're just to love one another. You know, loved one, listen to me. To know your text, always read your context, okay? Very important. Chapter 14, do you see that number 14? Did the Holy Spirit put that in there? No. The Holy Spirit didn't put in chapter divisions. He didn't say, okay, it's going to be chapter 14, it's going to be chapter 15. That man put that in. Study out your history. So let's read it the right way, because when they say that which is perfect is come, they're saying, see, the Bible has completed that. We have the full canon. We don't need those things. Well, let me ask you a question. Yes, okay, tongues have vanished away. What prophecies are now gone? Knowledge shall vanish? Is knowledge gone? No, not at all. When we see him face to face, when he was perfect, who is that? It's Jesus. Now, look what Paul goes on to say. He cannot be talking that the gifts have passed away. Look at chapter 14, verse 1, a continuation of the same text. Pursue what? Make love the quest of your life. Now, that's not emotional love or eros or sensual love. That is the agape of God, loving one another. He says, pursue love, and here it comes, desire. That word means zealous, burn in your hearts. He says, for what? Spiritual gifts. But especially that ye may prophesy. Now, when we get over to chapter 14, we're going to understand that all Christians can prophesy as the Spirit leads. And the purpose of that is to bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church. I give you some homework. Go through chapter 14 and look up the word edification and edify and find out what it means and who it's building up. It's to build up the church, okay? Now, listen. When I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, we're to keep on pursuing love, the gifts didn't vanish. Paul says, man, go after them. Thank you for being zealous for them. I don't know how in the world anyone could say the gifts are passed away. Now, here's what I want you to do. Go back to chapter 12. Look at verse 28 with me. Now, watch this. And God has appointed, not man, but God. God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Gift of healings, plural, by the way. Helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Now, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have the gift of healings, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best or the greater gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Well, we already know a more excellent way is love. That's what chapter 13 is about, okay? Now listen very carefully. This is so important. You know, concerning the gifts of the Spirit, does every Christian have every gift of the Spirit? No. Are all Christians prophets? No. Do all prophesy? No. Do all speak in other tongues? No. Are all miracle workers? No, not at all. But listen to me now. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. But all Christians, they may not, you know, operate in all the gifts, maybe a few of them, whenever God wants, but every Christian is to have all the fruits of the Spirit. Do you understand how vital that is when it comes to the operation of the gifts of the Spirit? So we're not ignorant. So they're operated. We know what God wants. It's not a secret. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the agape of God in our heart. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against which there is no law. Now listen carefully. Whatever you do, please don't confuse the gifts of the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit shows or demonstrates a believer's maturity. Amen? The gifts of the Spirit demonstrate or show us perhaps that person's ministry. I am a pastor teacher. I didn't earn it. I didn't learn it. It is a gift from God. Jesus gave gifts unto men. Amen? Ephesians 4:11. Now, with all that being said, a one-day-old Christian, just a baby Christian, you know what I mean? He doesn't know anything hardly about, can he be baptized in the Spirit and speak in other tongues? Yes. Can a one-day-old baby Christian just, you know, pray for someone, say, well, you're sick, and just pray, and God use them and heal some, and they're healed? Yes. Oh, love them. But listen, but gifts, they do not show a person's maturity. They don't even show the depth of a person's character. Are you listening to me? Oh, I tell you, loved one, this is so important. Why is it that the gifts of the Spirit today as then receive far greater attention in our culture than the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them, not by their gifts, by their fruit. Listen to me. So much emphasis is placed on the gifts of the Spirit today and then, and so little emphasis is placed upon the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are abused today, just like then. Did you know that the gifts of the Spirit, you know, man, I pray, the Lord use me. They're not a badge of honor. If you go back and study Balaam, I think there was a donkey that God used. Spoke right through. It's not a badge of honor. It should make us fall on our faces that God even wants to use us. I say, oh, God, you're so good. It's so sad that the gifts today, well, they look at this person, oh, look what they're doing. And, you know, but the gifts don't mean that a person is saved. The devil's going to be coming, the Antichrist. What is he going to be coming with? All lying signs and wonders. Those that perish are those that believe a lie. Listen, no. You have to be wise. You have to know what in the world is going on. See, just because a person flows in the gifts of the Spirit, number one, they shouldn't be elevated. And number two, they shouldn't be idolized. And number three, you don't even know if they're born again or not. You say, well, Bill, I don't understand. Go back to Matthew chapter 7, and let's look at Jesus here. Watch this. Matthew chapter 7. Just turn with me. I want to show you something. Matthew's gospel, chapter 7, as I turn there with you. Now, Jesus is talking about the narrow way and the broad way and all of that. He's talking about that you will know these people by their fruits. He's talking about false prophets and all the rest of them, you know, that come to you in sheep's clothing, you know, trying to rip you off or whatever. And then he starts telling us something. He's talking to those that know him. Now watch this in verse 21 of Matthew 7. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now listen, the group that was standing in front of Jesus, they knew who Jesus was, okay? They, with all of their heart, they truly believed themselves saved, without a doubt, yet they were not saved. And they claimed Jesus Christ as their own. Lord, Lord. Oh, Lord, Lord. Jesus said, no, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. What is Jesus saying here? Listen, he's saying this. If you claim, if they claim, the people we're talking about in that text, Jesus, Lord, you're Lord, Lord, you're my Lord. Loved one, that is only the beginning. That's not it. There's more after Lord, Lord. Amen? You know, when Jesus is your Lord, that's just the beginning. That's why Jesus said, he said, those who say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. They won't, not everyone, but those who, what? Who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, it's not about Jesus is my Lord, yes, but that's, again, just the beginning. What did James tell us in James 1:22? Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving. You're deceiving yourselves. If you can hear God's word and God's word doesn't have an effect upon you, maybe you're not saved. You see what I'm getting at? Boy, this is very important. Very important, the gifts of the Spirit, loved one. I look here and I say, oh, Lord. And Jesus said in verse 22, he says, he uses the word many, meaning those many throughout all the ages. He says, many will say to me in that day, meaning the day of judgment when Christ is in the great white throne or at the bema seat of Christ, okay? He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not, ooh, here comes the gifts of the Spirit. Have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders, meaning signs and wonders and miracles in your name? Now listen carefully. You study this out and you're going to find that Jesus our Lord, the people that he's looking at, and this applies to us today, he in no way condemned them for preaching in his name. He didn't condemn them for the signs and the wonders. He didn't condemn them for casting out demons. He didn't do any of that. But he did condemn them for what they did, what they practiced. Look at verse 23. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. That's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Jesus will look into the eyes of those people who cast out demons and did all these gifts and all the rest of it. And Jesus will say, I never had for 1 minute an intimate relationship with you ever in your entire life. Yeah, but Lord, Lord, I didn't know you. But Lord, I prayed that I never knew you. I don't know who you are. Oh, I know who you are, but you're not my sheep. You're not my sheep at all. And then the saddest words spoken in God's word, depart from me. Depart from me, you who, look at it, what's that word? Practice. Lawlessness. That word lawlessness, 1 John 3:5, sin is lawlessness. So what is Jesus saying here? He is saying, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, meaning a continuous, ongoing, habitual rebellion practice of sin while professing Jesus Christ as Lord. He says, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the things that I ask you to do? Loved one, listen to me. We are living in times that are darker than you can imagine. We need to open our eyes, and we do not need to be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the workings of God. We do not need to be ignorant about our own lives either. You see, these people here were deceived. I mean, can you imagine calling Jesus Lord, Lord, but not even being saved? Why? Well, you know, there are a lot of people that know about Jesus, but they do not know Jesus. Do you understand? You see, loved one, listen, today and then, a person can experience, loved one, the very presence of God in their midst. They can experience the power of God, the touch of God, but never, ever receive the person of God, which is Jesus Christ. That is a tragedy. The Bible says in 1 John 5:12, he who has a son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I tell you what, if Jesus is your Lord, you know it. You go over there after the service, there's a little outlet that's called an electrical outlet. Just take it off and stick your finger in there. No, don't really do that. But if you did, would you feel something? You better believe it. You would be, you know what I'm saying? Yes, you'd be touched. Yeah. Okay, well, listen. When you are in Christ Jesus, you are changed. Old things passed away. Everything becomes new. You're changed from glory to glory to glory. See, Jesus produces fruit in your life because you're abiding in the vine and you're the branches. You can't help from produce fruit in your life when you're connected to pure love, pure power, pure goodness. Amen? See, that's what it's all about. They claimed intimacy with Jesus in this verse. The gifts of the Spirit, yes, they were being manifested, but here's the problem. They did not have the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. The gifts of the Spirit are incredible. To have God work through you to where He is exalted. Loved one, listen. The gifts of the Spirit way back then and the gifts of the Spirit today, they are not an indicator that person is a saved person. Nor are the gifts of the Spirit an indicator that God approves of that ministry. Do you understand? It's so important that we understand it, because today that is what people are teaching. And that is not true. John the Baptist, Jesus said there was none greater than John. The Bible says in John 1:6, there was a man called John sent from God. In John 10:41, it says, and John did no miracle, no sign, none of those things, not no gifting, nothing went out of him. He was only a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the paths of the Lord. He was the forerunner of Christ. Judas Iscariot, who sold Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, whom the devil in the upper room entered into his own heart, and Judas went out into the night, traveled with Jesus for three and a half years, and you know what? Did he cast out devils? Did he heal the sick? Yes. But was he saved? No. No, he wasn't. Wake up. Know the Word of God. I'm very serious, loved one, about the gifts. They should be so knowledgeable of what God is saying in His Word about that, because that's where the abuse lies today. Father, we praise you and thank you for this moment, this word, your truth that you've exalted above your name. And Father, as I reach out with the gifting that you've given me to the people that are present, to those that are listening live right now, I reach out to those that maybe they've experienced the presence of God, the power of God. But they don't have the person of God, Jesus, living in their heart. They have Bibles and they come to church and but they never read their Bibles. There's no fruit in their life. There's just emptiness. They think themselves saved, but it's only religion. Because they said, Lord, Lord. But they never asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life. They never asked Christ to live in their heart. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if that is you, loved one, I love you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. Don't be ignorant and pass up this moment. If that's you, you say, come to Jesus. Come to him right now. You say, Bill, how? Just lift your hand. Don't come down here. Just lift your hand straight up and say, Bill, pray for me. I want to be a believer. Join those. God bless you. That's right. Join those in the first service who came to Christ. Who else? Say, Bill, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Hand up high and then put it right back down so I can see. That's all I'm asking you. God bless you. I see your hand. One more time, anyone else before we pray? Oh, please don't hesitate. I beg you in Jesus' name. If that's you, don't fight. Just give it to God and say, that's me. And then put your hand up and put it right back down. God bless you. Thank you. Those that lifted your hands, listen carefully. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me out. Father, I want you to save me. I don't want to say just Lord, Lord. I want Jesus to be my Lord. So right this minute, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. Father, you promised if I would confess Christ as my Lord and truly believe in my heart, you would save me. Save me now, for I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. I praise you with all my heart. I indeed give you thanks. For you're the great God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You are Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. In this church, we exalt you. We do not exalt man, and we do not exalt man's ministry. We exalt Jesus Christ to the one whose every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Oh God, we humble ourselves. Use your sheep. Let us not be ignorant, Lord, of the wonderful, incredible gifts of the Holy Spirit. We love you and give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with another message from his 1 Corinthians series. And we trust he'll tune in again. Thank you for listening today. So long for now.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.